Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Dial in toll free. Join us here on the radio waves and talk about anything that you would like to discuss. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. With you in studio, it's me, Ian.
Danica.
And Daryl.
Earlier in the show tonight, we were actually talking about how, we actually with Akko from Cameroon, and talking about how to get people in Cameroon who don't have internet access to have access to Bitcoin. Apparently, Coinapult is making that possible via SMS message, which is very, very cool. But what prompted the conversation about Bitcoin initially was the fact that Akko was having a tough time going to MoneyGram and retrieving $50 that I had sent him on behalf of Dobby Barker, the guy who created ShinyBadges.com. And so the government actually had stepped in and told Akko that he couldn't have this money, that it was being investigated.
So sad.
And that he was being investigated as somebody who is a known activist in the area. They wanted to know why he's receiving this money from this mysterious, you know, group outside of the country that's purportedly using the money to fund him, to fund getting ideas of freedom out in Cameroon, which, of course, is, you know, to some extent, kind of what's happening. But, you know, he's using some of the money to install satellite systems in people's homes, and those satellite systems are used to receive LRN.FM, which brings the ideas of liberty into people's minds and into conversation. And
well, people are looking up to him, too, and that's just great, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's the one who's been connecting people with these ideas out there, which is very cool. One of, I'm sure, multiple people, but... So he was stopped from accessing the money that was waiting for him at MoneyGram. And so, of course, the answer is get away from the old money system. Get away from the centrally controlled old money system where governments can easily step in and step in the way and stop you from picking up the money or whatever and use Bitcoin instead. But unfortunately, even that's not perfect because at some point people will – until Bitcoin is prolific – and people can easily transfer Bitcoin from one person to another for, let's say I want to, Danica, let's say you cook some dinner and I want to buy some dinner from you, I could pay you with Bitcoin and you would accept that and that would be fine. But if you didn't accept Bitcoin, then that would be an issue and I would have to then take my Bitcoin and convert that somehow into something else, some cash perhaps that you would have.
Or Dogecoin or silver, you know.
Right. And also taking cash and converting that into Bitcoin. When it's the conversion points is where the government is able to step in, you know, to target something, to target a business or a person who's been doing this. We've seen stories in the United States with a website called Local Bitcoins, where government agents in Florida, I specifically remember a Florida story, where they would set up essentially a sting operation, and they'd, you know, go and purchase Bitcoins from somebody, but tell them they were going to use it to buy drugs or something like that. And then they bust that person for facilitating.
Right. And I think what was getting people in trouble in Florida was the fact that they were saying, and I'm going to do something illegal with this.
Right. But there also have been people who've been
because
threatened.
If they would have said, you know, like, hey, I want to buy a pit bull and I'm going to use it for dog fighting, they would bust that person as well.
Yeah. But
because it's the fact that there's the criminal intent. Not just they're buying Bitcoin.
But I've also heard they've gone after people for buying and selling Bitcoins and, like, not having a license from the government as well. So there's been different reasons why people have been threatened by these state governments. And it's one thing to go after people on Local Bitcoin who are usually individuals who are offering the service of buying and or selling Bitcoin. But, you know, those people are not necessarily in a static location. They'll meet you in a parking lot or something like that to sell you Bitcoin.
Itinerant vendor, you don't have a permit to be an itinerant vendor? Guilty.
In this case, Vermont, the state regulators in Vermont are targeting the one Bitcoin, as they call them, ATMs. I prefer to call them a Bitcoin vending machine.
Hold on. It might actually be one of the ATMs.
It is not
ATMs.
An ATM. It is a Bitcoin vending machine. It's a Skyhook brand Bitcoin vending.
Not an ATM.
The very same Skyhook that I happen to have one of these things. I purchased it for the Shire Free Church, and as part of the Shire Free Church's mission, we're getting Bitcoins out into the community. Personally, I don't consider it to be a business, but that's another thing entirely. Let me give you the story here from VPR, that's VermontPublicRadio.net. Vermont's first digital currency, ATM, has been ordered closed by state regulators who say the company operating the cash machine is violating state law. The move by the Department of Financial Regulation has disappointed the tech enthusiasts who use the new currency service. Bluebin, a Burlington-based 3D printing business, is a visible part of the city's technology scene and geek community. The business made a splash in those circles last fall when it became home to the state's only Bitcoin ATM. In January, Governor Peter Shumlin lauded technology startups across the state in his budget address. He proudly said Burlington was named one of the top emerging tech hubs in the country last year and said the, quote, spirit of innovation is alive and well around our state, unquote. Shumlin didn't name Bluebin in the January 15th speech, but the small company is made up of young, tech-savvy entrepreneurs creating the type of jobs the governor's policies proposals are supposed to promote. 3 days before that speech, the state's Department of Financial Regulation sent a letter to Bluebin and PYC, which is the owner of the Bitcoin ATM. Again, I prefer to call it a Bitcoin vending machine, located at Bluebin. So you've got a 3D printing company, kind of a cool, hip thing, because 3D printing's a new tech, and they're a little too expensive for the average person to own a decent 3D printer right now. But if you have it in your mind that you want to create something from a 3D printer, you can take your creation into this 3D printing shop and they will print out your creation, which is a cool concept. And so they've hooked up this Bitcoin vending machine there, and now the government's coming down and saying, you got to get rid of this. The letter says, quote, among other penalties, operation of a Bitcoin ATM in Vermont without a license could result in a monetary penalty of $1,000 per day. Given your October 25th start date, you are already facing an administrative penalty of over $75,000.
Wow.
That's insane.
This is from the letter sent by the Department of Financial Regulation. The letter goes on. It's not the only potential punishment. Quote, additionally, knowingly engaging in a money services business without a license carries potential criminal penalties of a $10,000 fine plus up to 3 years in prison. All because they have a little machine in the shop where people can come up, scan a QR code from their phone, feed money into the machine, and then Bitcoin is then vended onto their phone. That is why this company is facing $75,000 in fines, accruing, what, $1,000 per day. That is why they're facing now up to 3 years in prison if they continue to operate the machine. This is the threat from the Department of Financial Regulation. They don't care about the technology scene. They care about protecting the old businesses. They care about protecting the old guard, the old banks, the centralized businesses who've been around for decades upon decades. And they don't like the idea of these upstarts. PYC CEO Emilio Pagan-Yorno admits the company doesn't have any Vermont-specific licenses, but he does say the company is licensed federally through the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. He says, quote, according to FinCEN, I do need to have a money services business license, which I do for all 50 states and territories. And that's just telling FinCEN that I do provide a service with digital currency according to the new statutes, and Vermont doesn't have that. So apparently this guy has jumped through some status hoops, and he figured that he, you know, jumping through the federal hoops would be enough to protect him here. Apparently not. Pagan-Yorno said no state has regulations specific to digital currencies. Although federal law does govern currencies like Bitcoin, he says PYC operates 7 Bitcoin ATMs across Vermont, New Hampshire, and New York, but only Vermont thus far has raised any regulatory concerns, which is interesting considering New York has kind of been known for the place where the regulators are bubbling up their plans.
They've discussed having it regulated in New York. It hasn't gone forward with it, That's correct. There's been some heavy discussion about it.
So they've left it alone in New York and now Vermont, cracking down on the one Bitcoin vending machine in the state. I happen to know, I believe, at least I'm pretty sure, this PYC company is the company that's operating the Bitcoin vending machine that is in Manchester in New Hampshire at a place called Murphy's Tap Room, which is a business owned by and operated by a Free State Project participant. So, you know, I'm hoping that this is not a sign of things to come in other places, that hopefully this will only happen in Vermont and will not spread from here. But these bureaucracies tend to be emboldened by what the other ones do. When one state passes a smoking ban, all of a sudden 10 more states get a smoking ban the next year. So there's more to the story. We'll come back with it. 855-450-FREE. You can take control here. This is Free Talk Live.
The vet had them on antibiotics as well as steroids. Nothing worked.
The vet had given them a cortisone.
The vet prescribed an antihistamine.
The vet thought that Molly was just old.
Probably $300 to $400 every 4 months.
At least $5,000 in vet bills.
All total, $2,700 in doggy fees, and all it took was one container of Dynavite.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
The ingredients are what the veterinarian said he was lacking.
Within 2 days, his scratching, it seemed to go away.
After 5 weeks, her fur is beautiful. She is totally happy.
Molly's gotten this puppy look. Her coat has sheened.
Oh, yes.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
My vet was completely blown away.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
The Freeze Dry Guy presents Freeze Dried Turkey, Freeze Dried Ham, and the No Bake Casserole Unit February Sale. Listen, if you trust the Freeze Dry Guy, as thousands have for their emergency food supply since 1970, don't wait to hear how great this deal is, because it's unlimited supply. Call 866-404-3663 and ask for our new Turkey and Ham Unit. Normal retail price, $359.94. Sale price, $251.94. You save $108. And it's chock full of high-quality, great-tasting, freeze-dried diced turkey and ham from Mountain House. The gold standard in long-term storage products. Or get the Freeze Dry Guy's No Bake Casserole Unit. 153 servings per case at normal retail price of $215.94. Sale price $172.75. You save $43.19. But supplies are limited, and we always pay shipping right to your door within the lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 and make freezedryguy.com a favorite and check for monthly specials. Don't miss the Freeze Dry Guy's February sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll free here at 855-450-FREE. Has the Bitcoin vending machine crackdown begun? Or will this just be a one-off and it won't happen again? Seems like the former is probably more likely than the latter. I mean, I don't like to be negative or pessimistic, but this is really a sad story where a company in Burlington, Vermont, a 3D printing company, partnered up with another group called PYC. They operate Bitcoin vending machines. The article in Vermont Public Radio refers to them as ATMs, but that's not a really accurate term because the ATM, the kind of classic definition of an ATM, is a machine that spits money out from an account that you own. The Bitcoin vending machine allows you to send Bitcoin to your wallet, your Bitcoin wallet, by putting cash into the machine. So in the same way that if you go to a candy vending machine, that it vends candy to you for cash, this machine vends Bitcoin to you for cash, a digital form of what some would say currency, others would say property. There's different definitions out there of what Bitcoin is.
And I would say it's both of those things, depending on if you're asking me if I know the IRS definition or the FinCEN definition. And it's something totally different if you ask for the FEC definition.
Well, right. The IRS said it was property, right? And then yes. FinCEN, the Financial Crimes Enforcement
Network. FinCEN said that it was money before the IRS said it was property. The FEC, which is the Federal Elections Commission, says that it's to be treated on the one hand as an in-kind contribution, but then carried over and placed in the amount of cash on hand.
Oh, it is so amusing how they can't agree on it.
Yeah. It's interesting, and they're going to keep having these conflicting rulings because it's convenient for them to do so.
Sure. Yeah, whatever it is that's most convenient, as far as the definition, will be the one they choose when they're trying to prosecute you.
Right. And, well, the IRS wants it to be property for taxing purposes, mm-hmm. because then you get charged a capital gain or a capital loss on property.
Which, of course, requires you to inform the IRS of this particular property, which I wouldn't recommend
and about
do.
At least half of Americans do that.
So sad. I mean, if you're going to have Bitcoin, which you can have without any governmental awareness of the Bitcoin at all, then why would you want to put that on their radar?
Ian, I guarantee you that Patrick Byrne, the CEO of Overstock, mm-hmm. is listing the capital losses from all of the Bitcoin purchases that they made.
Too bad for him.
Actually, it's kind of good because the price of Bitcoin went down last year, so mm-hmm. he has capital loss. Not capital gain, so then that offsets from the profits a little bit. But yeah, I do agree that it's too bad that, you know, there's paperwork that the government wants you to file at the end of the year where you tell them how much money you've made. Or if you have one of these W-2 jobs where your employer tells the IRS, this is how much money we gave.
We'll come back with more from the story about PYC and their being attacked, threatened with violence, threatened with prison because they are selling a product, a service, or whatever you want to call it. They're selling Bitcoin through this vending machine. We'll come back with it here. Dave is in New York. You're on, or not New York, excuse me. Dave in New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Dave. Dave in New Hampshire.
I'm here.
Yes.
The thing I wanted to update you on is this. You know, apparently what's becoming an epidemic of government school empire builders calling police on activists. And the other one I wanted to tell you about is one that's going on in Timberlane Regional School District, a situation that's going on. This is pretty similar to the one I told you about in Windham the other day.
This is New Hampshire?
Yeah.
So, Dave, for the people that weren't listening a couple days ago, can you give a very brief recap about what happened in Windham?
Yeah, a person at Windham was, you know, at a meeting and, you know, asked some questions, and so they called police on him. They were holding
what kind of meeting? School board?
It was a school board, and it may have been illegal what they were doing at the meeting, and that's why he spoke up. So he was, they called police, and the police came. Which makes it easy to get confused with the Timberlane fascism, you know. What's going on at Timberlane is there are some differences. What's been happening initially was, I guess, one of the school board members was banned from going to the school administrative offices, right? The place, I guess, where they have the meetings. Or at least the offices. I don't know about the meetings. But this happened late last year, or in the middle of last year. And then after that, there was an incident where a citizen was asking some questions. He was a former cop. And I think he's a member of the Coalition of New Hampshire Taxpayers. And he had some questions, during this meeting. And so while he was outside in his car, I guess he was taking a nap or something, or just warming up. I don't know what he was doing out there, but not everybody who goes to a meeting stays for the whole meeting. But he was out there, and the police pulled up on him. They called him. They called police on him. And then they came up with this regimen where now they're going to have police in the parking lot all the time, or at least a regular police presence in the parking lot at the school district. Then the most recent thing that
happened.
And
so is this an intimidation tactic? Did the police come and harass him for being in the parking lot?
It struck me as being that way from listening to him talk about it on the radio. Mm-hmm. He was he had a concealed carry license, and the thing fell out of his wallet when he was showing them his wallet. So they freaked out a little bit about the firearm. Now, that's one of the things that's interesting, though, is that he was on school, I guess the school property, and they didn't do anything to him. They didn't charge him anything. In a lot of states, it would be the end of the world.
Yeah, that's probably a felony in most places.
You would think so, considering the restrictions we live under. But he was not treated as badly as he could have been by the police. But the latest development was that the deliberative session occurred, and these activists basically got crushed. The folks who were asking questions, pushing back, trying to keep the government in check, didn't do very well at all. As the actual decisions were being made over the last week or two.
And this is in a place, where was it called, Timberland?
It's called the Timberlane Regional School
Timberlane.
District. The headquarters is in Plastow. I can't name all of the...
The fact is, I mean, that's what happened in Grafton. They weren't ultimately successful at stopping the increased spending, from what I understand there. But they did get some of their ballot measures on the ballot unmodified, from what I understand, in Grafton. So they had some level of success out there, which is a different small town.
I'm not sure you can necessarily call it success.
Okay.
And here's why. Because even though they're warrant articles, which is what the ballot measures are called in New Hampshire, even though those were placed on unmolested by the deliberative session, the people were told beforehand that the petitioned warrant articles were to be considered advisory, which means that these aren't binding, they're just suggestions. Which is why nobody tried to modify them.
I see.
In Keene, where some activists put warrant articles on by petition for the school district, they were not told, the meeting was not told beforehand, these are advisory, and they were molested to explicitly be made advisory.
Either way, the point is, it's hard out there for all the people who are looking for smaller governments. That's why we need more people to move to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project. Thanks, Dave. That's Dave from RidleyReport.com. More coming up here. Go check out the Free State Project at freestateproject.org.
Are you hungry for delicious, nutritious, rich, and satisfying home-cooked meals? Discover the Vita Clay 4-in-1 Smart Organic Cooker. Unglazed Zeesha Clay, an ancient secret that makes this fast multi-cooker so special. Infusing your food with incredible flavors, perfect texture, vitamins, and minerals for your good health. It's a slow cooker, rice cooker, a steamer, plus a yogurt maker. Go to VitaClayChef.com and enter promo code RADIO20 for 20% off at checkout. That's VitaClayChef.com.
It's no secret that government and big business buy in bulk and get huge discounts not available to the little guy. Until now. Introducing a breakthrough crowd buying website where people can join together, buy in bulk, and get massive discounts on millions of popular products. It's TogetherSave.com. TogetherSave.com. You can save 20, 30, or even 50% off tablets, smartphones, cars, appliances, textbooks, sports equipment, video games, and much more. All with free delivery. Check it out. TogetherSave.com. Visit now and start group buying today at TogetherSave.com.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, take control, toll free to bring up anything you'd like here at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. The government guys, they want to give, they want to make sure you've got a permit before you do anything. After all, they want to make sure that they're getting the money from whatever it is that you're trying to do. In this case, we're talking about a Bitcoin vending machine operator that is being threatened with prison. Not only the operator, but the store in which the vending machine is located. It's Burlington, Vermont. The one Bitcoin vending machine that Vermont Public Radio is referring to as an ATM, although I think that's a misnomer. The Bitcoin vending machine, the one in Vermont, has been now threatened. The store that it's in is a 3D printing business where you could take your 3D printing printable designs and have them actually printed without having to buy your own 3D printer, which, you know, economically just doesn't make sense for most people, but it makes sense to go to the store and do it. And then they've got this cool little Bitcoin vending machine there where you can put cash in and it puts Bitcoin on your cell phone. Or puts it in your wallet.
Easy way to buy Bitcoin.
It's so easy. And it's no different than me standing there and selling you my Bitcoin. The Bitcoin is just essentially an intermediary in that process. Instead of having a human being sell you the Bitcoin, the human being allows the machine to do the work for the human being. But yet, they're saying that the company, both of these companies apparently, or at least one of the companies, needs to have some sort of government permission slip. And PYC, the company that owns the Bitcoin vending machine, is saying, well, we have the permission slip from the federal government. They've gone through this FinCEN group, the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, or whatever they call themselves, and they've got their little permit for being a money transmitter in the 50 states, but they don't have one for Vermont. Didn't think they had any need of one in Vermont because Vermont has no regulations that have anything to do with Bitcoin. At least that's according to the story here at Vermont Public Radio, which I'll continue here now. They talk a little bit about what the Bitcoin vending machine does. You present your QR code, and that gets scanned by the vending machine, which then the vending machine accepts U.S. cash into the machine. It's then converted to Bitcoin and deposited in the user's digital Bitcoin wallet. But Riley, that's the owner of the business, and Pagan Yorno, that's the owner of the machine, say the regulators don't understand the process when they started threatening the entrepreneurs with major penalties in jail time. We're talking 3 years in prison and thousands upon thousands of dollars in fines. Pagan Yorno says they didn't really do their research, and they're trying to target smaller digital currency businesses rather than ones that have already been operating for 3 years now in Vermont. Dale Shaft, a spokesman for the Department of Financial Regulation, said the department, quote, can't comment on any pending issues. Well, wait a minute. Why can't you comment on the general issue of Bitcoin regulation? You could comment on that. If the idea is you can't comment on this case, okay, fine. This case is open right now, so you can't comment on it. But what about the regulations of Bitcoin? What about if somebody else wanted to be a Bitcoin vending machine business in Vermont? What process would they need to go through to avoid getting this threatening letter?
We can't comment.
Right. They can't. They don't know what the hell they're talking about, so it's better for them to keep their mouths shut.
Right.
The letters from the department, which span over a three-month period, warn Bluebin and PYC they may be in violation of the law, but they also seem to show a lack of clarity about what exactly the two companies are even doing. Quote, from the first letter that was sent, first threatening letter, quote, if we understand your business model correctly, PYC needs a money transmission license, and Bluebin needs to be appointed as an authorized delegate of PYC, unquote. Bluebin CEO Dan Riley said he and a PYC representative had a conference call with state regulators in which the officials tried to get a better grasp on how the system worked. Quote, this is from, Riley. Riley says, tell us what you're doing, kind of give us a sense of what's going on, said Riley, describing the regulators' approach to the conversation. Quote, if you need more licensing, we'll figure that out, but we really want to know what Bitcoin is and how it might fall under what we're doing. Well, look, I don't want you to know anything about Bitcoin. I don't know if talking to these regulators is the good thing at all, as far as they're conducting an investigation on this business, and they're trying to decide whether or not what they're doing is illegal. They're sending letters saying, we believe what you're doing is illegal and you need to stop, and then they're offering to have these conversations to further clarify. I think they want to know for sure if it's illegal so they can feel more comfortable actually bringing criminal charges against these folks. Because right now, apparently, they're claiming they are not planning on getting rid of the vending machine. Pagan Yorno described the call similarly. He says they just basically went over what is Bitcoin, and they didn't really understand it. They don't really understand what I'm doing, to be honest. That license and delegation, according to state law, costs upwards of $1,500, a cost Riley says would make the operation prohibitively expensive. And I totally agree. I mean, look, I don't know if there's more Bitcoinery going on in Vermont, but I doubt it. New Hampshire recently was shown by Overstock.com as being the number one per capita, number one source of Bitcoin business for Overstock.com. Of all the 50 states, New Hampshire by and far was the most popular for Bitcoin use. So I don't know where Vermont was on that particular list.
I don't know. During one of the testimonies up at the State House earlier in the week, somebody had a chart that I don't know where they got it from that showed the number of Bitcoin users per capita.
That's what this is. Was Overstock.com.
Okay. Yeah. And New Hampshire was number one.
By far.
Utah was number two.
Yes.
With about half of whatever New Hampshire had.
New Hampshire's
Utah,
like 40%
really?
Higher.
Interesting. Utah.
And then, like, they didn't even mention who was number three, but on the chart, it was a lot lower than Utah.
Yeah.
So Vermont wasn't even on that list at all.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Well, it was all 50 states,
I
so
think,
Vermont
yeah.
was on there somewhere. They just weren't one, two, or three.
But I never would have thought that Vermont would have been even, know very much about Bitcoin.
Well, I don't
so.
Know. I mean, Vermont's just a place where people
sure,
live.
Yeah.
I don't know why you would think that people in Vermont would be less aware.
They're somewhere in the top
Bitcoin.
50 of U.S. states.
Well, yeah. obviously. I just mean, it does not. It would not strike me as though that they were particularly Bitcoin savvy. You know what I mean? I would just
why?
Say
Why? Because they're a bunch of hippie rednecks?
I did not say that.
What are you
saying?
They're
not rednecks. They're just hippies.
I would think that a place like New York where there's a lot more people in certain areas that there would be more usage of Bitcoin. I mean, there was
well, it's
a
per capita, right?
Per
so obviously there's going to be less use of Bitcoin in total in a place like Vermont or New Hampshire
well,
compared
more,
to New York.
Morgan Spurlock recently aired this documentary on CNN last night, and I haven't gotten the chance to watch it.
What's it called?
Surviving on Bitcoin?
Okay.
Or?
The name, it's a series that he
it's
does
series,
on
yeah.
CNN called Inside Man.
Inside Man, thank you.
And the episode last night was episode 5 of season 3.
So he had to survive on Bitcoin for a week, and he's in New York, and New York obviously has
he's
a
in
higher...
New York City.
New York City, okay. Higher population. It just seems to me, this is just my thinking, that New York City would probably have a bigger Bitcoin following than Vermont would. That's all.
Per capita.
Sure.
It'll be interesting to pull up the list from Overstock.com.
Right, because New York City is just going to, like, sway the statistic for all of New York State.
That's true.
That's
because
very true.
Most of New York State is, very rural.
But when he says it's prohibitively expensive, like, to get this license, according to state law, $1,500, that is prohibitively expensive because there's not a whole big demand for Bitcoin. You put one of these machines in more as an outreach tool than anything else, in
right.
my experience at least, which was my intention with getting the machine. And that's why, it's part of the Shire Free Church's project here. So it's not a business. It's not a money-making business. In fact, it's really kind of hard to really track if there's any money generated from it at all because the price of Bitcoin is constantly changing. And so essentially, and the way the Skyhook works by default is that the regular software on there only allows you to sell Bitcoin you already have. So your buyers are not connecting to anyone else selling Bitcoin. The machine isn't connecting to a network of Bitcoin sellers. It's
right.
just selling
so
what's in
the
wallet.
It's not a money transmitter. Money transmitter right. is when a third party gets involved. Where
correct.
If I said, hey, Ian, I want to buy something from you, and you said, all right, well, we've got to run this through Danica. Danica would then be the money transmitter.
You hand her the money, she hands me the money.
With the machine, basically, I'm putting money in an envelope, setting it on the desk, and you're taking the envelope.
Exactly. The machine is essentially holding the envelope in that analogy. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. There's a little more about this story out of Vermont. Not good news. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
They say life is about choices. So let me introduce you to one of the best choices you can make in life, Grainger Choice. The Grainger Choice product line has just about everything we need to keep this place running, from batteries to V-belts, safety to sump pumps. And with Grainger Choice, we can trust that every product is dependable and cost-effective. When it comes to making life choices, here's a great one, Grainger Choice. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgrainger.com/choice or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Nothing compares to a good cup of coffee. But if you're getting your coffee from the store, you're likely not getting a good cup of coffee. Free Talk Live's teamed up with BuzzBox to bring you a free pound of the best coffee, shade grown, organic, top 1% grade Arabica. But what's different is that for every 10 people that get coffee through our link, coffee.freetalklive.com, we can give another microloan through Kiva. When the loan's paid, we lend the money again. Help others, one cup at a time, coffee.freetalklive.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Have you ever noticed how many sick and miserable people there are? I'm serious. I'm talking about people of all ages who have conditions and diseases which affect their quality of life. Most of them seem to have one thing in common: polypharmacy. That is, dependence on multiple prescription drugs with side effects that actually make them sicker and sicker, not healthy. The good news is that people are waking up to the fact that if you supply your body with all of the nutrients it requires, you will feel better, be healthier, and have a better life. It's important to know that Beyond Tangy Tangerine is the most amazing, great-tasting, comprehensive nutritional supplement. Besides supplying all the vitamins our bodies need, it also supplies the necessary minerals that are required for the vitamins to kick in. Look, folks, I'm hooked on it, and I think if you try it, you'll become hooked. This stuff really works. That's why I'm urging you to make it part of your daily health regimen. Visit InfoWarsTeam.com to secure your canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine today. Sign up for AutoShip and save on shipping costs. That's Beyond Tangy Tangerine at InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Dial toll-free here at 855-450-FREE. Are you happy to see the Bitcoin crackdown happening in Vermont? Well, I guess crackdown, I mean, it's not an inaccurate thing to say, I suppose, in that there's only one Bitcoin vending machine and they are cracking down on it. They've sent threatening letters to the operator of the vending machine. PYC is the name of that company. They have 7 machines in New York, New Hampshire, and Massachusetts. And now if they follow the state's instructions, they will not have any Bitcoin vending machines in Vermont. But so far, they have refused to comply, which I think is a really interesting aspect of the story here. We'll continue. There's a little bit more from VPR, which is Vermont Public Radio, reporting on a company, two companies actually. There's one called Bluebin, B-L-U-B-I-N. And Bluebin is a company that allows you to print things 3D. So they've got 3D printers. You can bring your designs in or email them to them, I presume. And they'll print out whatever tchotchke or thing that you've created, which is cool. It's a cool service. And because they're kind of a hip tech store, they added a Bitcoin vending machine in partnership with this PYC company, only to receive threatening letters from the State Department of Financial Regulation saying they might owe $75,000 and $1,000 per day if they continue to operate the Bitcoin vending machine, up to 3 years in prison.
I think it's interesting that the word might. You might owe us. We don't really know yet.
Well, they haven't charged them. That's the thing. They haven't come after them criminally yet with any kind of forfeiture notice. They're looking into it. They're trying to threaten them out of doing it, right?
We're conducting an investigation.
Well, but they're doing more than that, right? They're definitely conducting an investigation, but they're also threatening. And this is a common bureaucratic tactic where bureaucracy is a threatening group of men and women who will, you know, kind of use violence against you if they darn well feel like it. And most of the time they'll get away with it unless you've got all kinds of money to spend on attorneys to try to defend yourself in their court system. You're probably going to get steamrolled over top of.
Yes.
And so people know this about the government. People know the kind of the cliche that, oh, you can't fight City Hall. Well, you certainly don't think you can fight the Department of Financial Regulation or the state police or whoever else it would be that might come after you. So the average person, when receiving a threatening letter from the government, they're just going to do what they're told.
Yes.
Because nobody really wants to go to court. Nobody wants to lose their Bitcoin vending machine. They don't want to lose their business in total. So, you know, that's why they're coming down on both the operator of the machine and the business that is housing it. Because if they can get Bluebin to get really nervous and say, we didn't think we were going to get in hot water over running this cool little vending machine. We just thought this was like a cool tech thing and we wanted to offer it to our customers. But if it's going to put the rest of our business in jeopardy, then we don't want it here. So that's, they're kind of using the owner of the business. They're trying to clamp down on him in order to stop the vending machine. Even if the vending machine company is willing to go forward and, you know, say, hey, look, we'll take the risk. This is our machine. You guys aren't profiting from it. We're the ones that at total risk here to try to calm down the store owner. That may not be enough to persuade this person, you know?
Right, because remember here in Keene, when you were looking into getting the Skyhook.
That's right.
I asked one of the store owners that was taking Bitcoin if she would be willing to put a machine in. And somehow she wound up talking to like an accountant or lawyer and said, well, you might want to look into all of these regulations. She started looking in. Scary.
Yeah, it was scary.
Yeah, it sounded like that she just didn't want to touch it at all.
And I don't blame her.
I started looking into the regulations to see what it would take to become a financial services, whatever it is.
What was it, like a $1 million bond or something crazy like that?
I didn't even get that far. Yeah. I got to where it said you need a routing number. Or what's essentially called a routing number, that means that you have to be a bank in order to apply. I don't even know how to begin to get that, but I don't want to be a bank. I'm not trying to be a bank. Wasn't even looking into possibly ever being a bank. So I stopped at that point.
The license and delegation, according to state law, costs upwards of $1,500. A cost that Riley, who's the owner of the Bluebin, I think, says would make the operation prohibitively expensive. He says, quote, obviously we want to comply with any regulatory framework that needs to be complied with. We're not trying to run anything under the table, so to speak. But what we're trying to actually make sure is that this is properly taken care of, because our understanding has been the state doesn't really understand where this falls. So they're just trying to shove us into a box that we might not fit into. Pagan Yorno of PYC says the state shouldn't be targeting Bluebin to start with. It's the company's only a contractor. Bluebin gets a small cut of PYC's profits from the machine in exchange for hosting it. The ATM, a white metal pedestal on the floor with a touchscreen and slot for money to go in, sits unplugged next to Bluebin's kiosk in the Church Street Mall. Riley says he has no plans to do away with it, and PYC isn't planning on submitting a license application anytime soon. The owner of PYC, Pagan Yorno, says, quote, in actuality, I'm not entertaining that at all. I don't need a license. So them reaching out for something I don't need, it doesn't matter. They can't find me on something I don't need. Unquote. Now, I'm sorry, Mr. Pagan Yorno, but they sure as hell can find you on anything they damn well please. Whether or not it will hold up in court is another question.
Right. I was going to say they can attempt to find him, but they can't collect unless it holds up in court.
Well, if they send him an administrative fine demand and he cuts them a check, then they can collect it. But if he says, the hell with that, we're going to court, then it gets a little bit more complicated.
Right.
And again, they just like to throw their weight around. Let's send a threatening letter. And it says here, even though the owner is saying he's not entertaining submitting a license application, the machine is sitting unplugged. So why is the machine unplugged if they're not you know, so if, on one hand, it sounds like they've been dissuaded, but on the other hand, it sounds like they're moving forward. So I'm not really clear on what's going to happen.
He probably just wants to make sure that he doesn't accrue any more $1,000 per day fines.
Probably. They're probably
just to make sure that he, you know, can go to court and the judge isn't, you know, looking, oh, well, you know, you just, you're facing $100,000 worth of fines here. Just, you know, give them 50 and everything will go away.
So who knows how this is going to end up shaking out. I think it's a really sad story about these existing money systems, these old money systems, doing everything they can, including being willing to use violence against these people just because they want to do something different. They want to get a Bitcoin out into people's hands. And look, paying a licensing fee of $1,500, you're not making a bunch of money selling the Bitcoin. They have to take Bitcoin they already own and sell that Bitcoin from the machine, which means that if Bitcoin drops below a certain price, you can set in the machine to say, all right, well, let's say you bought the Bitcoin when it was at $300 and now it's at $250 and you don't want to lose money on selling that Bitcoin. You can tell the machine if the price drops below X. So if the price drops below $300, the price you paid for it, then don't sell the Bitcoin. Basically, if someone comes up to the machine, it'll say, we're sorry, Bitcoin's not available at this time, which is kind of crappy. You don't want to do that to people.
Right.
You want to be able to sell Bitcoin. And so that's really unfortunate because, you know, they're selling their own product. They're not connecting with someone else. But even if they were able to connect with one of these Bitcoin networks, these exchanges, if you will, like Coinbase, even if they were selling through a third party, even if the machine was being used to sell other people's Bitcoin, so what? Who really cares? And why is it any of the state's business anyway?
Well, here's how I look at it. I look at it this way, basically after hearing testimony from a legislative committee hearing where they were talking about, you know, not regulating Bitcoin people as money transmitters, and somebody said, well, anytime any two things of value exchange through a third party, then the third party is a money transmitter. Well, based on that rationale and that logic, every time you go to the grocery store, then the grocer is the third party between you and the wholesaler. So every grocery store, every mom and pop store, everybody that sells anything is a money transmitter. But they're, of course, not going to apply it that way, even though they'll testify to a committee that that's what it means. And if I give you ducks for chickens through Danica, and she's a money transmitter, you know, like, they'll go after her, but they're not going to go after, you know, the grocers. So it's ludicrous. They have goofed up rationale, goofed up logic, and they're going to apply it how they want to apply it.
So there you go. That's the latest from the Bitcoin universe. Of course, you know, we'll continue to follow interesting Bitcoin-related stories as they come up here. If you want to learn more about Bitcoin, maybe you're new to the concept, I would recommend you go to weusecoins.com. It's a great little intro site. There's a short little 2-minute long introductory YouTube video that you can watch there and then dig in further and learn as much as you like about it. I think it's fascinating, and the more that we can get out there, the better. So go and check it out when you get the chance. And if you've got some Bitcoin, you want to donate it to Free Talk Live via our tip jar, just drop by bitcoin.freetalklive.com. Don't forget to drop by Daryl's website, fpp.cc, where you can actually order books in real life with Bitcoin as well. So we'll see you tomorrow night online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges.
This is Davi Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
In a trial by jury, the primary function of a juror is not to dispense punishment to the accused. It is to protect your fellow citizens from being unjustly deprived of their life, liberty, or property. As a juror, you can say no to unjust laws and prevent government abuses of power by refusing to convict. Legislative, executive, judicial, the fourth branch of government is we the people. Find out more from the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.